Amen. Well, good morning. We have been talking about the future and God's timing. I want to talk a little bit more about time. In a way that may, I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning, but in a way that may help you understand your relationship with God in time. How does God work? And it was kind of an eye-opener to me. I don't know if I'll be able to get through all of this today, but I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about time. And then I also want to talk about God and the changes in our life through the seasons God brings us in life. Recognizing God's timing in seasons, and of course that's another message in and of itself. Okay, there's times and there's seasons, and we're obviously the Bible is, when we hear the scripture Lord, it's the actual scripture is in Psalm 90:12. It usually just kind of flies over our head. Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our heart to wisdom. Now, we're going to look at our opening scripture, and I don't know if I'll get any further than that on this scripture, but I'm going to talk about Psalm 118, verse 24. Our title is, What a Difference a Day Makes. I know that's probably a secular song, and I don't know it, but it just sticks with me. And so Psalm 118:24, and it says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, one of the things I want you to understand about time is that God, okay, has broken it down into days. He's broken it down into days. Okay, this is God's design. Days are God's design. A day. Everybody say a day. Because God said, this is the day. And what he says about it is that I have made it. And sometimes with all the evil purposes in the world and men trying to control Satan through men, trying to control our destiny, sometimes we get confused and lose sight of the reality that the days that we live, the days of our lives, are days that God has made. Okay. That scripture can't be broken. That is what God did. He made each day. Now, whether we recognize it or not, and people don't, they live their life without ever really acknowledging the fact that God created the days of the days of our life, and obviously he created them for his eternal purpose. So when we say this is the day, we can now associate that day with different things that God says about days and times. We can see what God thinks and what God's will is for a day. Okay. Now, Satan wants us to live in fear and get confused about what he's doing in the world. And we can lose sight of a higher reality that God has made and planned for us. All right? And I'm going to tell you what, nothing's going to stop God. He already made the days. He made the days before he even created the world. He knew how many days would be in the time when he created the first day to the last day. Obviously, God's the only one that knows how many days there will be before this world ends. All right. He knows how many there are because he created them. Okay. And it says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Okay. That's one of the first things that we need to acknowledge about time. Okay, God made my day. You heard, I think it was Clint Eastwood in that one movie, he told the guy, make my day. And he had that big gun. Okay. God, you made my day. And you can hear that sometimes with people who walk with God and the testimonies they give about how they gave God the preeminence in their life and how he completely, I don't know if I want to use the term controlled, because I don't think God is a God that forces us to do anything, but he intervenes in our day as we acknowledge him and give him the preeminence in our day. Okay. He intervenes. We heard testimonies today about God intervening. Okay. So this is the day which the Lord has made. Now, since the beginning of creation, regardless of what has happened or what Satan has done or how he's come to rob, kill, and destroy people's lives, it isn't going to change the reality that God made each day for his purpose, and it's our responsibility to acknowledge him in that day, glorify him for that day, and cooperate with his purpose in that day. Relate to him in that day. He's in that day. And he made it for us to relate to him and fulfill his eternal purpose. Okay. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Well, when did he make it? He made it ahead of time. He isn't going to make it. He's already planned it, prepared it, and purposed his fulfillment of it in those that would believe in it, believe in him in that day. Okay, not everybody believes in that day, you know. And then it says, we will. Everybody say, we will. We have a part to play in cooperating with God in that day and in time. We have a part to play with that. Okay, it isn't just automatic. There has to be an act of faith on our part to say we will or to say I will. Okay, now, that's because God has given you a will. And he has given you the choice to decide. All right, whether you're going to put your faith in him or circumstances or Satan or confusion about the future. I don't know about you, but I'm not confused about the future. He holds it if I will cooperate with him in it. And I haven't always done that. Don't misunderstand me. Okay, so your will is involved here. Okay, and then it says, we will rejoice. Okay, now here's a key, here's a spiritual reality in a natural day. Because days and times are temporal. But your relationship in God is eternal life. Okay. Rejoicing is supernatural. And being glad in that day. We're dealing with rejoicing and being glad. Those are characteristics of the Holy Spirit. They're there all the time. It's up to us to choose blessing or cursing, whether we're gonna cooperate with the enemy and what other people are saying and strong forces against us. Okay. But God says, I want you in your day. Here's one of my main purposes in how to relate to me. I want you to rejoice. We could say in him. And be glad about your day. Okay, and there's times that because of whether you're something is going on that's contrary to God's purpose, sometimes we lose sight of that reality. All right. Are you with me?
Amen.
Say, I will.
I will.
And that's the pivotal point. What do you will? Do you will God, or do you will Satan, or do you will the circumstances of life to take over? So this is, of course, a scripture that is the most important reality that God gives us about a day. How's that day? How are you going to live that day? How's that day going to go by for you? How's it going to go by? How are you going to let that day go by? How are you going to live that day? Okay. I'm going to agree with God, right? Or at least that's my hope, putting my faith in what God said. Okay. There's nothing that can stop you from relating to Almighty God by rejoicing and being glad about your redemption and what God has done for you. Don't lose sight of it, because we live this temporal life on the edge of eternity. And we've got so much more awaiting us that it's incomprehensible. We'll never understand the riches of God. And we're all talking about riches. I guess a lot of that is the whole world. When I say the world, I mean unsaved people pretty much base their life on temporal riches. I'm not saying they're not bad, but when you make an idol out of them, when that's all there is, that's your only hope. Okay. Christ became poor that we might become rich. That's a part of our redemption. And we can honestly say, I'm rich. Okay, we can honestly say that, and really the reality of life is that we need to adapt an abundant, God's abundant attitude about life. All right? God is abundant. Not just in material things, but God is abundant in spiritual reality. You know what? You can have a lot of material things, and you know what? You can be a very unhappy person. Not that they're not blessings, but they're not eternal in nature. They're temporal in nature when it comes to riches, temporal riches. But we have eternal riches, all right? I can't imagine losing sight of you know, we need to learn how to thank God, how to rejoice. Why? Because we have something to rejoice in. We have the truth of our relationship with God to rejoice in. And I, sometimes under heavy attack and circumstances, I just say, you know what, Lord, I do that three times a day. When I wake up in the morning, I try and say, I just want to be glad about life. I want to enjoy my life. Christ died so that we could be freed to enjoy our day. And we need to will that. We need to practice that into our life. We need to choose that. I will. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
Okay. I think that to keep us away from all the death and negative thinking, we need to rejoice. Okay, that means we just rejoice. Okay, rejoice, and be glad. We do have something to be glad about, don't we? All right. You see what I'm saying, though? This is a very powerful scripture. Okay, this is the day. Okay. Thank you, Lord, make my day. You've already made it, and I already believe you've made it. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay? There have been times I didn't realize I was willing to have unbelief. Willing to create disappointment. Willing to accept failure. All right? And that was my fault for being ignorant about God's word. Okay. So that we just have to take that first reality and have you prepared yourself for the days that he had made? Have you prepared yourself for it? How you're going to obey God in those days? How you're going to fulfill his eternal purpose in those days? Okay. I think if any, I think the highest order of life is to want to have a real relationship with God, a true relationship with God, and then you want to live in a way where you're submitted to him to do his will. Amen. Okay, that's I don't know about you, but that's my priority. Amen. Sometimes my will causes me to fall short of that, but all right. So think about Psalm 118, and I want to, and maybe in some of the weeks to come, I want to talk about God's, we must prepare to cooperate with his seasons of life. We don't want to miss the seasons. As you go through life, he has seasons that will change, shift. And we need to understand that God does that because we are living our life, and there's going to be there. I don't mean there's going to be changes in God or in his word, but there's going to be changes in our temporal life. All right. And that's where that scripture comes in Psalm 90:12. Lord, teach us. Okay, to number our days that we might apply our heart to wisdom. That's Psalm 90:12. And then we need to recognize what the Lord has completed. Okay, so there's Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days. We know we only have so many days to live, and we don't want to waste those days. Okay. That we may apply our heart to wisdom. We may have God's wisdom to understand how to live those days and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to fulfill those days. And then also, we need to, again, as I said, we need to recognize what God has already completed. We just need to acknowledge it and cooperate with what he's done and not lose sight of it, but give thanks for it. So I guess the biggest purpose for our day is that, you know, of our heart is we want to glorify God in that day. Say, I want to glorify God in that day. Say it with me. Today I want to glorify God in my day. See, and I really think that our highest purpose is not only to love God, but the only way we're going to prove we love God is to love people. Okay, you know, one of your biggest callings is to, when you wake up in the morning, is to say, Lord, how can I show your love to someone? How can I help someone? All right. Huh, would you think that might be God's highest purpose? All right, to love him and to love others. And that's pretty much, in a nutshell, what you're called to do. So we glorify him for the day that's made, or we're supposed to. I've fallen short of that many times under circumstances. And then I just want to, we got to watch our time because it's, and so we need to receive every day as a priceless gift, a treasure from God. Recognize your most important mission is that to bring Christ and his eternal purpose each day, which I've talked about. Okay. Does everybody say, I will?
I will.
It's up to you how you're going to choose in life. And you're going to want to be careful to make the right choices to glorify God in those choices. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes bad choices. Okay. So your will, of course, is involved in choices. And so now the scripture also says that in 2 Corinthians 6:2, I just talk about that real quick. I have heard thee in a time accepted, or some translations say the accepted time. So we're dealing with time. We're dealing with moving in time, moving through time, moving, living in the days of time. I heard thee in the accepted time, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, everybody say now.
Now.
Now. Kind of now is just like I will, in a sense. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So if you're kind of, you know, wondering about God and waiting for God and wondering where he is, just read 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time to put your faith in God. Now is the day. This is the day of salvation. God has made this day a day of salvation. God has made every day a day of salvation. All right? And then I just want to cover one more point before I close here. When we read, most of us have read Romans 8:28, haven't we? I mean, 8:28, you know, we're going to put that up. We've heard it because I think it's probably one of the most popular scriptures, but maybe it's one of the most misunderstood. I don't know. But when it talks about we know that all things work together for good. Now, it doesn't work together for good for everybody. But for those who love God, you know, when someone lives their whole life separated from God and in sin, the days of their life and where they end up is not working for their good or God's glory. Not at all. Okay. All things work together. You know, and it helped me realize that God is at work in my life 24/7. So don't ask, well, God, where are you? God is at work in your life. Okay. 24/7 to those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. I'm big on that, the purpose of God in my life. All right. And then I incorporated into that whole scenario the Ecclesiastes, where it talks about his mercies are new every morning. Okay. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. I'm a mercy gift, so it's very easy for me to show mercy. It's hard for me to understand why some people don't show any mercy. But lean on the side of mercy, because someday you're going to need it from somebody else. All right? And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, and I'm not sure what I wrote that down, so I... It just says that, let's read it. Let's just read it real quick, because I want to convey a thought about how God is working everything out together for our good and for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. But Lamentations says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. All right? And then it goes on, I think, in the next verse to talk about great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the cross, one of the main purposes of the cross was mercy. Okay? That was God's heart. And when we sin, it doesn't mean that it's not without consequences, but it means that we can ask God to forgive us and get out from under the spirit of condemnation. Okay, like I said, you know, sin does have consequences, and sometimes they don't. We have to then find God's grace after that to deal with those consequences. All right. But God is a faithful God to forgive. He's a God of new beginnings. He's a God that doesn't hold the past over our head, but he gives grace to get out from under the condemnation of the past, the sins of the past, the failures of the past. He gives grace with the freedom now to find his grace to be accountable for our sin and to move forward. I don't always know what that means in time, but I do know that God does not want us to live under constant condemnation over our past. That's why the Bible says, you know, when it says his mercies are new, those aren't temporal mercies. That's eternal grace right there. They're new, what? Every morning. So it gives us an opportunity to start a fresh day, a new beginning, a new opportunity to walk in God's grace. All right. Now I'm going to close in a prayer. This has got a prayer. I wrote something that's more like a prayer. It's a scripture, but I want you to think about Psalm 90, 12 through 17. Let's look at that. Let's kind of make it a prayer. Let's kind of make it a prayer. Psalm 90, 12 through 17. That was on the back of our paper. Okay. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us with your will. Satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all of our days. Say it with me. Satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all of our days. All right. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, and the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to your children. Say it with me. Lord, let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to your children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. What? Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. And establish the work of your hands, what? For us. Yes, establish the work of your hands. Isn't that powerful? Now, to me, that's where my expectation is. Okay. I'm not going to try and figure out life. I'm not going to try and figure out the future, because God's already done that for us. We just have to be obedient to walk in it, right? Okay. But just read that. Read that. That scripture is very powerful, and we're going to thank the Lord for you today, for your future, and for his blessing on your future. And for me, that's all I'm going to receive. I'm not interested in receiving anything else than that, right? All right. Hallelujah.